prepare. We do have a quorum.
Good.
Did you say Coffin's out of town?
I thought that's what. Jackie, was Mr. Coffin out of town?
Yes.
Yeah. And we don't have a replacement for Mr. Barlow yet.
Okay. Looks like we are ready to go. We have a quorum. So we'll call the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the public comment. Do we have anyone here for public comment?
None.
Seeing none? Seeing none, I will close the public comment period. Next item on the agenda is the adoption of the March 12, 2018 agenda. Do we have any changes, comments, questions on the agenda?
Yep. Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Agenda is approved. Next are the items for report, discussion, action. Number one is approval of the Finance Committee meeting minutes of November 30th, 2017. Any questions or comments or changes to the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those are approved. Next item is discuss and approve staff follow-up regarding the audit findings.
This will be up there. I don't think you have a copy of that.
I do not. I've not seen that.
I think this is Mr. Glass.
Did you want to...
Okay. Following the Finance Committee meeting, we made arrangements with the City of Henderson to do a review, a cursory review, actually a broad review of our finance department. And I think that was a big part of the discussion when we met last time in the Finance Committee. Is our finance department staffed properly? Or do we have the right number of individuals working in the department? And what can we do to, sure, is there anything that we should do to change our finance department? The City of Henderson replied with the strengths that we have a healthy fund balance and a positive revenue stream. However, they did point out several opportunities for improvement, which included development of policies and procedures. We had been in the process, although albeit very slowly, implementing policies and procedures simply because of the other things that were going into the department, but have accelerated that process. So that policies and procedures are in active development within the department itself, are being developed through department management and review and comment through all the participation of the individuals within the department to make sure that we're catching all procedures that need to be involved in the policies and procedures. The second thing that they recommended was considering the hiring of an internal auditor. And they recommended a couple different ways that an internal auditor could be looked at, either as an individual reporting to the board or reporting to management and or actually part of the finance department itself. Subsequent to that, we developed a job description for an internal auditor and are in fact in the process of recruiting for an internal auditor. This particular position, as we've put it together, is for a limited term employee and will report actually to our director or our administrator of human resources. The reason for structuring it that way is to ensure that we have an individual in that position who is removed from day-to-day operations within the finance department. The second thing that we've done is make sure that the job description covers internal auditing procedures for non-finance issues. We have a number of departments that we want to make sure to be able to take advantage of an individual with these particular talents to be able to look at other departments as we go through with this engagement. The third thing is to create a grant administrator position. And when we handed the documents over to Henderson, the city of Henderson, we did not have identified a grant administrator. However, what we have done is to assign that function to an accountant within the department. And in fact, that has been in place for about a year and a half. So that process already is in place. They just didn't recognize it when they went through the documents that we had supplied. And we talked to them subsequently about that, and they said that was great. The fourth recommendation was regarding staffing. And what they said at the time of the initial review was that staffing really is going to depend on exactly how your department is organized, what functions you have included within the finance department, and that it would take a much deeper review to look at actual staffing numbers. However, we had a subsequent discussion with them about a week and a half ago, and they defined our staffing as robust. As they looked at the individuals that we have in the department, the job descriptions and the duties that each one of the individuals within the finance department have. That's where we're at with the staffing portion. And then finally, they recommended that we have an ongoing continuing education program. And while we have taken advantage historically of educational programs that are available either online or that are offered locally, not only for our financial management staff, but also for our finance department staffing, we have recognized that we need to broaden how we offer continuing education and provide additional funding in the budget for travel, if necessary, for any educational programs that we think may be of benefit. As we go on to the management plan, which is essentially the response to the Henderson, we have a plan in place for policies and procedures. We have recruiting for an internal auditor. The grants administration function is covered through an accountant. And actually, the accountant works very closely with the grant writer, who we are also in the process of recruiting for. We had a grant writer, but that individual left the organization, and we are now recruiting for that position.
May I add just sure. that we have, where's Amy? We have two grant writers under contract right now. Is that correct?
Correct, or within the next few days will be finalized.
Right.
We have actually pulled the grant writer recruitment due to difficulty, and once we get those two on board, we'll reassess.
Right. So we're reassessing the salary range and the duties of the regular grant writer, but we will have within the next couple of days two grant writers and maybe a third one on board, which will help us search for grants and write the grants in coordination with the accountant that Andy has mentioned. Thanks, Andy.
As far as specific adjustments to the staffing within the finance department, we agreed as management that it would be a prudent move to wait until we have the internal auditor taking a look at the department to be able to get into the exact details of how that function flows and be ready to address any recommendations that are made, whether they're for the addition of staff or the for the retiring of staff. With that, I think we also need to keep in mind that we have hired the internal auditor, or in the process of hiring the internal auditor, and are also recruiting for a an ERP analyst to work in the IT department to help with the finance reports that we've been talking about, that the ERP has resulted in additional attention that needs to be paid to both troubleshooting and development of reports
to complement the ERP system, and that's throughout the district. So we felt that with the expertise that already exists in the IT department, this would be a good augment to those that are there and can broaden that whole scope of responsibility. And then finally, the last thing that we have agreed to do is to have a monthly internal education plan so that each and every employee during the course of their monthly meetings with management have a finance-focused educational component attached to it. And that's where we're at.
Questions?
I do. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. So one, how are we hiring these positions? Because I thought that it was, you guys were going to come back and show us any vacancy savings in order to have those positions, new positions there, because we changed how we, the board overseen it. And then two, I can attest to grant writers. It took the county almost 2 years because every time we'd offer someone, someone gave them a better offer to stay where they were. So what do those contracts look like though? Are they making, they should be making their money back for what we're expending to have them. They should be being able to produce that much plus.
You're talking about the grant writer specifically?
Yeah, I'm talking about all, you know, how are we hiring new people? And then on the grant writers, what is their scope of work? So that they should be making us money after the first grant.
Well, I would say that they certainly do, in that as we find new grants in particular, that's new money that's coming into the organization. Our experience with the grant writer that we had previously was that we actually had two types of grants that that individual was responsible for. One was the renewal of grants and the upkeep of our grant system, but then secondly, identifying new sources of funds that were coming in. And in fact, and I'd have to look exactly to tell you how much that individual brought in above and beyond where we're at, but that definitely is the case.
And then so on the vacancy savings, that's the one last thing that Mr. Beers and I agreed on, that we would show where those monies were coming from so that when we are filling positions.
And I think as we go through the budget is what that we'll see what those vacancy savings were, have been over the course of the past year, and have resulted for the district.
Okay.
And I believe part of your question was where are we getting about the auditor, and the auditor is a 6 month limited term position, as I think the ERP specialist is, to get us to a point that we can actually bring better, more fulsome recommendations to you. So they're only hired for 6 months.
Okay.
And if I may add to that, this is a lower burden rate, meaning because we're a limited term position, we don't have to pay the burden rate that we're currently paying for our employees because they don't rate all of the benefits. So that's important. In addition to that, we did negotiate with the contractors to bring their rates down to a range within the range we would already pay. So we're paying at the same range.
I just want to see where it comes. Which pie is it coming out of?
Which so pot?
We owed that. We promised that to the employees to stay on top of that.
Hammered pie.
Got it. Few things. On the grant writer, I was the one that pushed for bringing our own grant writer in years ago, and I would hope we can get that filled. I think there's a tremendous benefit having it as our own, and we, you know, it's an employee of the district. They have more of a stake than an outside contractor.
I don't raise the amount, though.
Sure,
I'm just saying you're going to have to raise the amount. I mean, the county was paying $90,000, and we couldn't get anybody for 2 years.
Is there a metric in the industry or something in terms of how much they should bring in versus what they're being paid? Is it 2-3 times? Is it 5 times?
It's 2.25 times
what they're being paid.
And we are paying 90,000
plus.
So
benefits.
They should bring in about 240.
We literally were going, we went through 4 recruitments. Mm.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And do you remember what our pay scale was?
Not that high. I don't know the exact, but we're not paying that.
But I'm just saying, if we were struggling, you're going to have to maybe look.
Right.
Plus,
we want someone who has health and public health experience, so that's going to be a rarer tooth on the bird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good with metaphors, but I think that one works.
Actually, I know somebody.
Yep. If you know someone, please do refer them to us.
I'll poach another municipality. I'm not shy.
Yeah.
The internal auditor, I wanted to ask just a little more specific. So they're going to be looking at personnel issues mostly? Are they going to be looking at?
Well, I think
I guess we'll get a better clarification what the internal auditor is going to do.
I think the flow and operations within the finance department, so that it's not just staffing, it'll be a much broader look at what our processes are that we have in place, the checks and balances that we have in place, the other recommendations that were included, the educational program, how we're educating our staff, how we're ensuring that they're kept up to current changes that are occurring within finance, and that's at all levels, the federal level, the state level, as well as the local level. So, you know, it's a much broader view. It's not...
Why is that reverse person reporting to HR and not either yourself or Dr. Iser? I mean, that's jumped out at me right away. If I hired an internal auditor, I wouldn't have to report to my HR people.
If I may, mm-hmm. We wanted to remove it from that line, and so Amy reports to me. We've changed that reporting structure. So okay. HR now reports directly to okay. me, and that gives me whatever, I'll use the phrase greater, but, and Amy and I are meeting every week about a variety of issues, including this, in fact. So that's one of the reasons to do that. And Andy pointed out that, as best we can, the primary reason is to look at finance. But we have other divisions to look at within the district. I don't want to name them here and now, but we want to take a closer look at where can an internal auditor help us along the way mm-hmm. in a variety of areas. I think we haven't had this kind of review in my knowledge ever, and you've been around longer than I have. I don't think we have, and I think it's probably a good thing to do.
What does that mean, though? Does it mean for transparency, to make sure everybody's policies are in place, they've updated?
A little bit of all of that.
So that non-financial component, because my hope would be we'd get focused on the finances
we
first.
Will. Absolutely.
And that could take anywhere between 3 months and 9 months to establish all those policies and procedures, just so everybody knows, and with the training to go along with it.
We agree.
I'm hoping. So I would just hope that the board would see at some point,
you
right,
will.
Those non-financial things, because we're primarily focused on the financial right. stuff
you would
right
see,
now.
You would see everything, but the finance piece is the priority at this point.
So I had the same question in terms of what's a reporting yeah. requirement, or what's the line of communication. You know, many times, it's obviously important not to have them report to finance, because they're going to be auditing the finance department mm-hmm. first. But if, for example, they were to be auditing something going on in HR, it would be inappropriate, I think, to have them report directly to HR.
Right.
So I'd like to have the opportunity for that person to be able to have a direct reporting or an ability to report, whether it's to you, Andy, or to you, Dr. Iser, if they find something that is an issue.
We will be completely transparent.
And I'm comfortable with that. I don't want it in the regular line. I want
yeah, I completely agree.
The top line.
Completely agree.
Or almost, even almost, I wouldn't be uncomfortable having it report to the board either. So, my other question is, use the term accountant. And of course, I just want to clarify, what do you mean by accountant? Are we talking CPA as an accountant, or are we talking an accounting clerk? What do you mean when you say the term accountant?
Well, we have a specific job description for a staff accountant.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. What is so it's a stud, but do they have an accounting degree? Do they know? I just want to make sure we're not hiring CPAs to fill all these positions.
No.
I assure you, we're not. They do not necessarily.
Okay.
This person, in fact, does not have an accounting degree.
Okay, that's not necessarily accountant. It's an accounting clerk.
No, she's filling an accountant position.
Okay.
And she does not have an accounting degree. She was hired to be the grants coordinator, but we didn't have a grants coordinator position.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave her the title of accountant, but all she's done since she was moved into that position mm-hmm. is manage the grants.
Okay.
So if I can explain just that procedure a little bit better, and let's pretend we have a full-time grant writer, because we did, is that it took a couple of months to get that into a more fine working arrangement, a more well-greased working arrangement, maybe a month, maybe a little bit longer, so that each one, and because the grant writer reported to me, but the accountant reports to Sharon and to Andy, and so we had that, we had to work on that working relationship, so who does the research, who uploads, who does the writing, and so on, and we had that worked out, and we'll have to do a little bit of that again, but the grant writer position is, as it says, a grant writer, someone who would research, in particular in the areas that we feel it's appropriate. So would we be looking for something related to roads? Obviously not. I'm using that as a silly example. But there may be something that's a little bit between. Behavioral health might be a little bit of the state, might be a little bit of us. And so that we would look at that and then work with the state as to how we work that out.
And that was fine. My issue, and it's, again, probably me personally, just because I'm in the finance stuff, accountant has a ton of connotations to
me. That's correct.
And qualifications. That's, if anybody ever called my staff accountants, I would go nuts, because they're certainly not qualified as accountants. But they're great staff accounting people.
The role that this person was put into, if you recall, 4 years ago, we had approximately 14 findings on the audit. They were primarily related to the CIFA. It was all about the fact that we weren't filing reports timely, the amounts weren't correct, and it was both fiscal and program related. And so the grants coordinator is responsible for making sure that everything is filed timely, correctly, that the lists are accurate, correct. She gets all of the federal numbers, state numbers attached to every grant, which previously we didn't have that. So it was kind of like her pulling it all together and getting it assembled. And so that way, when the auditors do come in, all of the information is readily available.
And my last one is, Andy, you used the word robust. Mm-hmm. Again, that's got certain connotations to me. To me, that means we got a lot of people. Is that
That's
robust?
That's how we just interpreted that.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to tell you what we gave to Henderson. So we gave a organizational chart, we gave the functions that we do, and then we gave the individual job descriptions for the various positions without names attached, and then we attached names and put in there specifically the kinds of duties each individual person did.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, I want to go back to this grant thing, because we did have some findings on this audit related to the grants that we weren't collecting the information. If I remember, it was in maternal health, maybe?
It was in family planning.
Okay.
And it had to do with the administrative clerks there was no check and balance by the supervisor reviewing the application process that came in. And so when the clerk said that, okay, you qualify for a 25%
right.
poverty level.
Right.
There was no check and balance that the supervisor agreed or disagreed. And the paperwork was there, and about 10% is what they deemed either the paperwork was missing or that the poverty level should have been.
But we had a person who was supposed to be overseeing all that, correct?
No, that's the program manager's responsibility. And
but if it's a grant, which it was a grant, and the grant organ, I guess for me, it's now I have more questions than where I started, because only because finance folks are hard to get in any governmental agency today, right? Everybody's vying for them, everybody's paying more and more. And so if you have a grant coordinator here, it should be at the top of the page, and then you have the program. The folks that are administering the program, she oversees this, and you have what we use the term is the management analyst who oversees to make sure that we're meeting the grant requirements. So you have an accountant in that position that's overseeing that we're getting the dollars and all that, and then the program folks, so this grants coordinator, we shouldn't have had any, quite frankly, we shouldn't have had any audit problems. And it just goes back to the point that, just for the board, we probably got to invest in some real training, because the talent pool is not out there. Everybody's vying for it. And if we're been in this boat for 4 years and we're coming out of it now, then we got to make sure. It's going to be hard to get qualified people.
The only thing that I'll add real quickly is that there's a big difference, though, too, in that while the grant was specifically a grant for this population of individuals that we serve, that population is also covered by the reimbursement rules and reimbursement rules and regulations that we have for collecting insurance from individuals. And this particular finding related more to that than, or in addition to the grant. I mean, they're overlapping things that were occurring.
I know all the more, I mean, but at least at my house, when it comes to money, we micromanage it so much that, you know, if I'd spend 15 cents over, somebody wants to know why. So I'm just saying that, and I am one that lacks in receipts, so I got to pay the consequences. And I'm just saying it's no different at the health district. We've got to be overlapping what we're doing for everybody's benefit. That's all. Because once you get a black eye, it's harder to recover from it.
And
that's all
I'm
saying. I think
that when you see our responses to those three findings, which have yet to come up, that, and you'll remind me that we've already instituted training and retraining for that front office staff to make sure that they can comply. And with different grants, I know everyone here knows that, with different grants there are different requirements. Right. So we have to make sure that they understand what those are and can codify or put into whichever bucket they need to be put into when they enroll with us.
Doug, did you have?
Just kind of comment. This is, I guess, maybe fifth or sixth of these finance reviews I've sat through. This has been the worst one by far. The only other one that we had that was even close is we have an external inventory problem. They forgot how to count inventory, the vaccine inventory at the remote locations. So obviously this went well, yes, last year, and it went well the year before. How did we get here this year? Because we haven't made any substantial changes to our process. But all of a sudden, we've failed monumentally.
Correct. We installed an electronic system. We changed software in the same time. And while that was happening, we were also short staffed because I had staff leave. And it was hard to manage both things at the same time.
I go back to what you said, and that is, it appears to me, at least on these, that there needs to be more training. And you need to have somebody who is responsible, who is trained to say, okay, they've checked this at one level, now it's my job to confirm what they've done. And
right.
So to me, this shouts, you know, this cries out for more training so that there's somebody trained to catch these things.
Correct.
Now, I don't think that's just a general training. I think that's a specific training that you're going to need because you have a specific grant, right?
That's correct.
And so for each grant, you're going to have to train somebody to be, you know, to check and double check as part of their responsibility.
Also, for each insurance company, it's different. So it's complex in the medical sphere. I think we all know that because probably each one of the three of you have a different health insurer when you go to see the same doctor, assuming that you do. And so there has to be someone in that doctor's office to be able to look at the nuances of what is your copay and have you met your deductible and so on. And that's a struggle for us that we will continue to work on. And I agree with everyone who has said that we need more training. We all agree with that.
So I'm a strong advocate of more training as long as it's the right kind of training.
Correct.
So,
mm-hmm.
Well, you're really talking about grant-specific training for that grant, and then as well as overall responsibilities for understanding the process.
I think for grants like this, it's very important that we are able to detect if there is a problem or not. So
right.
When we have a specific grant, we should have training that goes
exactly.
along with that that says, okay, these are the things that are going to be important to determining we're either receiving the right amount of money or we're charging people too much money.
Can I ask a question? So, in the grant that Ms. Kirkpatrick used was the family planning grant, and historically we've always left it to the program manager to do that training. And so are you looking to finance to oversee that training?
You tell me. Is the program manager the appropriate person to be trained to supervise
that? Dr. Legan.
Yes, Doc.
Yeah, regarding family planning, just to share with you, the program manager, the program supervisor, and two administrative assistants from that program participating in a training in Washington, D.C. that were actually sponsored by the grant. They trained for about 2 or 3 months on how to do the billing, how to manage the patient population, how to structure the services and all the billing process in the program. So it was a very expensive training that they did, and was also in conjunction with people from other jurisdictions, and they have bi-weekly conference calls addressing financial issues and how to manage the operation of the program. So it's something that was very helpful to the program. And it was just coincidentally, it was not because of this funding, it was something that the program office had already scheduled for that program. So they benefit from that, and they actually implemented several changes in their operation because of that training.
I agree with you, though. I mean, it's no different than we do pre-construction bid conference to talk about this is what the grant is supposed to bring, this is what you should be finding, and I don't know why finance wouldn't be collaborating those meetings so that your finance folks know what they're supposed to be looking at, the folks that are administering the grant knows what we're supposed to be getting as an outcome, as well as the program manager. I mean, it doesn't take hours every single day. It takes like 30 minutes, and knowledge is powerful to employees. So the more employees that you can give the same knowledge, it's only gonna help them for the next grant, right? At least ask questions. Why aren't we looking for this? Why aren't we looking for that? So whether they had all that great training, I think that sometimes you have to know there's 7 different ways to teach a person. No matter what, all of us in here have a different way on how we do it. So is it visual for some? Is it on the phone for others? Because if you put me on the phone and I'm on speakerphone and I'm listening to a training, I'm typing, I'm writing notes, I'm doing 90 other things. How many conference calls are you on a day, right? That's exactly what you're doing, right? Trying to cut out 2 things to make my desk better. So I'm just seeing that sometimes it's an opportunity for us to get in front of folks as a whole. I mean, I just think we have to take training serious this time out, because that is the one consistent thing at every on-hands deck meeting I've been at, is training across the board for the health district. They want to learn, so let's teach them.
And I'll equate it to the industry that I come from, and that is, you know, when you have an internal control system, when you're tracking money, and Title 31, which requires you to comply with certain things in terms of how people handle money, what you do is you have someone at your cage who is filling out certain information when somebody brings their money in. And then periodically, at the end of the day or whatever, you have somebody, a supervisor generally, that takes a look at that form and says, oh, you didn't get their full name, or you didn't get their address. There's a blank here. So you have somebody that's trained to look back at those things and say, oh, that's the information. So it's another set of eyes on it. And that, yes, you're training that person who's interacting with the public so that they understand it, but you're also training someone to take a second look at it. And I don't know if that's feasible or not, but that to me
is... What I'm
going
to say is that we can improve that process. I know what the process is. I know what the responsibilities of the individuals who are involved. And just going through this discussion, thinking of what it is, and that we'll take a very hard look at how that process actually is working and what we can do to improve it.
Great.
And honestly, I bet the employees could give you some pretty good ideas that are under the pressure of making sure those grants come out, too. They know what could make it easier or more transparent.
Okay. I just have one last comment on training.
I
know, and I am the big advocate of training, but it needs to be focused, it needs to be measurable, because you can go crazy on training and spend a lot of money and spend a lot of time and not get what you really want out of it. We can go overboard on training, so just pick your training well. That's my suggestion.
I have just a couple of other questions, and I'm new to this, so please excuse me if this is basic, but I have a lot of respect for the city of Henderson, so I don't want this to sound wrong, but why did you choose the city of Henderson to take a look at your internal processes?
That was my choice. I have a good relationship with Mayor March, and we've had several discussions over the period of time that we've co-located our jobs, meaning at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we could have asked other entities. We could have asked the county, which we've asked for help with on okay. this and that. We could have asked the city of Las Vegas, which we have done and are in the process of doing right now. And so we chose Henderson because we believe they're well managed. And they're not as large as the city of Las Vegas or the county. We thought that having something closer to our size would be a little bit more helpful in terms of looking at how they operate, what their positions are, how many positions they have, and then to give us some advice. But again, it was very, I would still call this preliminary, but because they have recommended since we began talking to them to do this audit position, which I think we have agreed mm-hmm. that we needed to do too. But they helped us, I think, come to better understanding of where we are now and where we need to go. And part of that was this next phase.
Okay, thank you. The other question I have is, I think remembering back to the conversation that Member Coffin and I had concerning the internal auditor, the question was raised about an internal auditor, and then we wondered whether or not this organization was big enough to have, you know, to support a full-time auditor or not. That, what did you look at? What information did you consider on determining that we did need an internal auditor, but we only needed one for a six-month period, which is, as I understand, what we've decided to do, or what you've decided, recommended we do?
Well, I think that number one thing is that when we talked to the city of Henderson, they said that, you know, we can only do so much in looking, in being mm-hmm. able to look at the documents. We really need to get into your processes, how those processes are working, exactly what the staff does and exactly how they do it. It's one thing to see it on paper. It's another thing to be able to sit down and do a desk audit on what individuals do here. So I think that that's number one. Number two was the size of the organization. And is this a position that really needs to exist, or is it something that you just bring in a consultant, do your thing, and have them leave and react accordingly? And generally speaking, what their thought was from the city of Henderson was that we are too small of an organization to have an internal auditor position reporting to the board. So those are the things that we looked at.
So indeed, if I can summarize, we're following their recommendations, thinking that they're good recommendations, but those recommendations can always change once we have this temporary hire on board.
And honestly, I would look budget that personage, whether it's inside or outside, for a year. I think you're going to find that 6 months is not going to be sufficient. By the time you get follow-up and policies and procedures drafted and approved and all the other things you need to do. And that's just kind of my personal experience.
And Amy, I think, wants to say something.
I think we need to, one of the things the internal auditor will be focusing on is throughput and looking, hopefully using some Lean Six Sigma tools to make sure we're properly staffed. We will track ROI on that if that's something that you're interested in, so that we can report back as to whether or not we believe we can fund this position financially and if there's a return on investment for us in that.
And indeed, if I'm going to use the phrase, if we're robustly staffed, there may be a way to look at an internal auditor who becomes full-time in the current staffing model. Not necessarily with the current staff, I don't know that, but with the current number of employees there.
I think, Mr. Chairman, at the very least, we should probably budget for a year, but in 6 months we need kind of an update to figure out what's going on, because now they'll miss this budget cycle, but they'll be making sure that things get implemented, and then we can determine whether or not we keep that person on, whether they've done other things. But I just don't want that person to get away from the non-financial yet. I mean, I want them to focus on the financial, and then in 6 months, if they've gotten that, then maybe we say, as a board, that, you know, here's some other things the board would like you to look at.
Right.
You know, maybe some different departments. And I think that if the board, because remember, the board's got to have some buy-in to keep engaged in many of these things, so we don't get all the way to this point again. That would be my thought.
I think we agree with you.
And also to share with you, even in the absence of an internal auditor, we're still in the process of getting those things lined out. Since September, all the responsibilities are completed monthly, accurately, and on time. There's reports being processed monthly. All the timelines are currently now being met. We're in the process of developing policies that didn't exist or revising policies that are way outdated. And the goal is to meet all of this before the audit coming up in 3 months. But also our biggest concern that we have in the finance department is the lack of this ERP analyst, because the audit requirements has the auditors want certain reports from us that we're unable to produce. And so that ate up a lot of time during the audit last year because it took a lot of management.
So I guess this goes to recruiting, though. Are we recruiting both at the same time? What's the expectation? I mean, the time framing. I just know at the county it takes 4 to 5 months to hire someone, so.
We actually just scheduled the internal interviews for Monday, so we have two.
For which position?
For the internal auditor. We have two qualified local candidates, at least on paper. We'll tell you more.
What about the other one that she's saying that she's going to need?
We're being recruited, and we should have final candidates by the end of this week.
It sounds like you need candidates for the ERP analyst,
yes,
for the internal auditor, and for the grant writer, all
we need a lot of
at the same time.
I think we'll speak to that in a little bit. The recruitment for several hard-to-fill positions,
okay,
is becoming very difficult.
Well, now there's competition, but you're going to show me the vacancy savings and where this is all coming from, right?
Yes.
Okay. I know I asked for that little report every time we did this.
All right, I think that's that concludes the presentation, correct? And
correct.
The question and answer?
Unless you have an action you want to make.
That's my question.
Item.
Do we need to have an action item on this?
I think we sent it to the board last time asking that we would give them a follow-up. So we probably just need to make a motion to update the board on the current findings.
That sounds like a motion.
I'll second that one.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes.
If there was an opposed, that'd be really...
yeah, exactly.
I counted on my fingers.
May I ask, do you want the chairman to make that report? Do you want us to make that report in combination with you? How would you like to... Just so we're prepared, because that's coming up next week or the week
next
after.
Next week.
10 days.
You want to work
with me to do it? Yeah, that's.
I just think that from
okay.
the board's perspective,
okay.
it's right.
Yes,
it's coming.
I'm happy to make
we'll
that.
We'll help you.
Okay. Well,
and then you'll be there for sure.
Let's see. What day is that?
Yeah. And I think traditionally we've had the chairman do
okay.
the updates of
okay.
various meetings. Yeah.
And if you need help, just besides what you'll get along the way, is just ask.
Okay.
There are two more items that need to be covered under this agenda item.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The letter from the state concerning planning number 2,
yep.
that does require board approval. We forwarded the letter from the state and our response to the state stating planning number 2 that had to do with the transfer of funds without the budget. And the response is attached. There is a petition that's prepared for the board meeting next week. I just thought it'd be good if the finance committee took some type of action on this. And then also attached to that, in December after the audit finance committee meeting,
yes.
we prepared a response to all three of the findings. But the one that's going to the state is just the response to the one finding that they requested board action on.
Okay.
Yeah. And we just need to approve the response.
Yes.
The board needs to approve the response.
Yes. Yeah.
So
and
the recommend.
And this was, remind me, this was the money that was for the reserve,
yeah.
the building reserve, right? That
no.
was
no,
moved to the wrong place?
Go ahead.
This was the transfer of funds that Well, there were two funds that had a shortage, and that was the bond reserve fund and the internal service. I didn't have enough funds in the budget, so I should have done an augmentation in May or June to request funding. And the third one was transfer funds from the general fund to the capital improvement fund. And that was to fund equipment that, due to budget constraints and timing at the end of the year.
I don't remember that discussion.
Yeah, that was the NRS one.
Okay.
There were three, the NRS, the family planning one, and then the timeliness of the checking account updates.
Okay. So let's go back and look at my notes.
So I guess I would move that we recommend to the board approve this letter.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 And then Sharon also has the next document. The first document, the first two pages were just the response to the state. The second document is a little bit longer, and it repeats the same information on the state document, but then it adds in information on the other two items that were cited in the audit. So again, that would be the family planning one and the timeliness of the checking account updates.
And go ahead.
And is there an action that's necessary on this?
I think that you want to, this would be part of your report to, if this subcommittee agrees, it would be part of your report to the full board to accept. You've already accepted the first document, but to accept the second document.
And that's what I was going to say. I'd hate to see this turn to a long board discussion over these three items again.
You're right.
It would just, I'd like to just see if we recommend the board accept the memorandum and move on.
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
So I guess I will make that motion. Excuse me.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Done?
Yes. I just want to make sure we hit on those items.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is review and discuss, accept or approve updated cost allocation study.
Janet Webster, the accounting supervisor, is here. You guys had a couple of questions, and so she did a different format layout of the cost allocation.
Is that what this is?
Yes.
I did have a copy of it.
Yes, we will.
Because I'm a little slow on that.
I frankly didn't understand this one, so.
Well, I thought that we were trying to figure out how this overhead multiplier worked.
Okay, so when reviewing the numbers you guys had questions about, was the overhead multiplier differences where some of them were up and some of them were down? So you had a lot of questions on those. So what I did was I went back and pulled the actual dollar figures from the previous year. And so that's what this shows, is the total per department or per division. So if you look at the amounts per division, you can see that the allocations actually did go down for the multiplier. But the reason the numbers inside changed so much is because we had some reorganization within the department or divisions. In clinical services, we had removed the disease surveillance and we had put it down into our community services. So pulling some of that out made differences in individual departments. Plus, we had taken out Ryan White from one group, the clinic, our sexual health clinic, and had set it up as its own group at one time, so they were all combined back. So that's why when you look at cross at each division, it's confusing because you're not actually looking at a dollar figure from one year to a dollar figure from another year, apples to apples, because they're split and moved around. Environmental health had everything grouped under environmental health, and that the FY16, we had taken out food and plan review and permits and put them in their own departments. So that's why all of those numbers jumped around, but if you look at the bottom line total for each division, you can see they're more in line with the cost allocation going down.
And the report that we shared with you in November, it gave it just by department and not by division. And so we thought it'd be important for you to see that the divisions are very compatible year to year. And so that's why when we talked to Marcel with Mahoney and Associates, they had shared that one of the things is that because departments do move around more so than divisions, that if you looked at it at that level, and so we're thinking in future years how to present it differently. And then we also don't share prior year amounts like we do the current year amounts.
Can I ask a quick clarification question? On your, and it has to do with the EH part, you have the environmental health, then you have the several categories below it. Mm-hmm. So what's left in environmental health? Because all those are environmental health.
Okay, the first column, those are the new.
When you say first column, what do you think, fiscal year 15 or fiscal year 16?
The first line, excuse me, it says environmental health.
Right.
Okay, but so what comprises that? Because we've broken down a lot of the divisions of environmental health, so I'm curious what's left in environmental health that's not broken down. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Administration.
That's administration. Okay, maybe we could add that.
Did that make sense, Janet?
Yes, and in the new system, administration actually is broken out, okay. And everything else, because environmental health in FY16 did have, like, right. Vector and all of those were in right. there, and we have removed them from that and left their administration by themselves in the new system, so in FY18 it will be changed.
So the top row in each division is that division's administration?
Well,
correct.
Yes.
Okay.
So general nursing is nursing administration, which is Dr. Legan and right. Joanne and a variety
that
of other
things. I'm just thinking, could we add that word administration? It'll make it easier.
It'll be helpful. I think that, and I'm not sure if this is where you were going, Sharon, but if you look at the bottom of the left-hand group, this year the indirect district-wide is 28.88. Last year it was 33.69, am I correct?
Correct.
And this is reflective again of the fact that I think we're now finally away, or almost completely away, from the leased buildings from 2 years ago.
Right.
And that's really helping us with this indirect, because everyone here knows that those costs that were incurred way before most of us here in this room were here and are in the process of going away. So we think there'll be at least one more year of decreasing indirect, like the 28.88. Am I correct, Janet?
That is correct. In review of how the space rental from the years between 15 and 16 went down about 1.1 million, but it's going to go down another probably 1.8.
Although, if I can give a caveat, that the lease for East Las Vegas is up in 2021, so it depends on how well we negotiate either a replacement or with the board's approval, how we go forward with that. The lease could be higher. I suspect it won't be lower, but that could happen. Depends on what happens to the overall economy between now and then.
Because when was that lease negotiated?
It was a 10-year lease, as I recall. Do you remember?
So that was
11.
Yeah.
I believe it was a 20-year lease. So if you go into my office, you'll see where all the leases are in the years that they end, so that we can track those.
So that was still in the up years.
Yeah, and we also have negotiated better terms on some leases. So. Different because we had in Laughlin, we were renting from the private sector, and now Ms. Kirkpatrick, we're leasing from the county, and that's better overall for us. And the same thing has happened elsewhere where we've been able, in the city of Las Vegas with 333 North Rancho, that's better than what we could have done on the private market.
Mesquite was the same.
Yeah, we went down on that. Thank you.
So can I ask a dumb question?
Certainly.
So this paper still doesn't. I thought I asked What is the overhead multiplier, right? What is that, and why are, in some instances it's 70%, in some instances it's 12%? And so I thought we were going to get a breakdown of what that multiplier is. I mean, I see overall as a division by moving things around, it's consistent, but at the same time, I don't know what that overhead multiplier is. And that's what's, yeah. I mean, and is it the DA? Is it the legal?
It's administration. It's
but what does that mean?
That's how I was going
there. Okay.
General administration, which is Dr. Iser, Andy, that's general administration and their staff. And then it's finance, legal, human resources, IT, public information,
facilities.
See, my staff's helping me, and those types of groups. So that's what the multiplier is doing, is it's taking those costs, which down here, if you look at the bottom, where it talks about the proposed costs that are being distributed, the $15,160,000, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the administrative cost. The previous year was $16 million, and in 16 it was $15,160,000. Those are the administrative costs that are being distributed to the operating departments.
So you're telling me in community health,
correct,
that it's 112% of the actual cost that we allocate for that department is administrative cost?
In community health, the 15 million, they get distributed 4.2 million of the administrative costs, or 22%.
So okay, well, I know what she's.
Yeah, I know what you're asking too.
Department though, they go through to each of these. They go to facilities and they go to IT and they go to their work orders, and they take all of the time that they actually spend in certain of these departments, and that's why some of them get allocated more costs.
Uh-huh.
And that's why their percentages go up and down, and depending on how much they used facilities or how much they used IT, that's how. And then, you know, the rent is by square foot when we are paying rent. So when they divide those up by all of those different allocations, that's where you get the overhead multiplier, the larger. Okay,
so, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to ask, then how do you know that we're, you know, how would you know, like, say that you're spending way too much time on legal stuff, right? How do you break that? How would you know? How would we know as a board where our...
If it's not broken down more right. than just a right. big admin number?
Yeah.
And what I'd say, I don't necessarily need to see the individual map, but I'd love to see the metrics that go into each
right.
one of those
and
cost allocations.
We can share.
Because I suspect it changes line by line.
Yes.
Sure.
And as a board member, that's, you know, we need to know how you got to, at least I need to know how you
sure.
got there.
There's a the whole formula, per se, is it's in a booklet, and it's probably about 40 pages long, would you say? And it takes all of the administrative costs, how much was legal and stuff like that, and then how it gets dispersed down. And that what it does is it gets dispersed out three different times before it finally reaches zero. And so we can share that whole thing, because in reality you have to read it from the back end, because you do start at what your costs are and then work it forward.
Like I said, I don't need to see the individual numbers. I just want to know
what
the categories
included.
that makes each
right.
of these things up.
Sure.
Okay, and the other thing is that we charge the divisions, we charge every department just the flat amount, the 28.8%. We don't change it for each different department. So even though it's worked out to the department level, we charge an across the board district-wide amount to all departments.
Why do you do that?
One, it's easier.
Well, that's not a good answer.
Because it's done manually. We have to distribute it manually, and it does take a lot less time to distribute the allocations based on that. So that's why.
So, and I'm glad you asked the question, because I this is my first introduction to
sure.
overhead multipliers. But looking at, for example, fiscal year 16,
mm-hmm.
environmental health,
mm-hmm.
the total environmental health overhead, general administration, whatever, is 4.529 million, correct?
Correct.
And then the actual spent in that department, what the departmental expenditure was, is 14.8 million, right? So then you get the multiplier based upon the relationship
right.
between those two numbers. Okay,
right.
I now understand it.
Okay.
So going back then to the question of, tell me how general nursing has an administrative cost of 1.4 million and actual expenditure of 884,000. It seems like it's wacky to me.
Right. Well, we have to depend on the departments. Part of it is depreciation. And instead of them allocating the depreciation into the departments, Mm-hmm. and Associates just puts it to the administration for each division. That's probably the largest dollar amount that's sitting in each one of those. So it's the depreciation for the equipment and facilities and stuff like that. Now, we've never had them break it down to the department level. We can move to that, but what it would is you'd still have to base it on expenditures. But I would probably say the big bulk of it in each one of those areas is probably your depreciation costs.
So I completely agree with things like depreciation, rent, you know, you're going by square footage and so forth. You just basically allocate those to departments. They can't,
right.
They can't avoid those costs, and
right.
it is what it is. On other things, that, for example, legal mm-hmm. or something else, I don't know what else, but legal, for example, there may be one department that's using that resource a lot more mm-hmm. than another. And I don't know if it's helpful to management to be able to break those down so you can see which department's using those and make decisions from there.
And
but
we do get those breakdowns down. We do establish those breakdowns at the beginning when we give this to money.
Mm-hmm.
And to how much, like HR, I'll use that example, how much of HR is used for recruiting, how
right.
much of HR is used for safety, how much of HR, because different divisions use more safety than they do recruiting
right.
And those types of things. So the distribution does split out that differently. We could do a better job at it, I would say that, because I think historically we've said, you know, here's the positions that were open, here's what we recruited for, is it all going to EH, clinical services, is it distributed equally? Usually not. Should we distribute it based on the number of employees or the number of vacancies? I don't recall the details of how they work their formulas, but we could always improve it. There's always a multiplier no matter where you work. It depends on how detailed you want to
right.
get into it.
And the 28% is just the finance component?
No, the 28% is the overall total.
Overall.
Yeah, it's the 16 million. It's distributing the 16 million back into the operating departments.
That's the total overhead for the district.
I know, I'm just trying to figure it out because most governmental agencies don't let you do over 25 first and foremost, and then if we're at 28 and we're asking for fee increases, it makes it hard to, at least for me in my mind, to justify.
Well, when I started here, we were at 36%. 28 looks great.
You, a chef would get fired if he's at 36% on his cost. Just
but
saying.
But part of this really is the old building on Valley View,
yep.
which I think we were paying $2.1 million. Do you remember, Janet?
So I would say
so
that's probably not a good argument to bring up the board meeting because there's a lot of people wondering if we had to move. So just
yeah.
saying. I wouldn't bring that
you're
up.
You're talking about Shadow Lane.
I'm talking about either one of the buildings
oh, yeah.
to begin with, because I've lived in this town my whole life, and there was, my personal opinion, there was nothing wrong with the other one. So I wouldn't go down that road.
Yeah, I think the quote is that, and it never did blow down, and I'll just leave it at that.
We couldn't even turn down fast enough.
Well, so. The good news is the multiplier is moving in the right direction.
Correct.
And I don't know, you know, you mentioned that a metric of 25% is
standard.
You can't exceed it, or that's right. what you aim for, or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't.
That's why I wanted to see how it's broken down because that's high. I mean, there's state statutes that don't let certain people go over 25%.
Right.
That's high.
And I'm just going to suggest, on your depreciation, honestly, I would just take it as a percentage. You're going to make yourself crazy getting into detail in the math.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just go percentage. It's perfectly acceptable for depreciation expense.
Okay.
At least from my point of view, it is. Or in my world, wherever.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think it's another motion to accept and report to the full board.
So here's what I would say. If I'm seconding it, I want some more detailed information for the next meeting, because this is what I asked for.
We're going to spend a whole lot of time on this if we don't get this flushed out a bit.
That's what I'm asking.
So would you like Sharon to do that and email it to you? How would you like to proceed?
That's fine, but I asked for the breakdown of the overhead multiplier, not the same sheet with the stuff moved around.
Okay.
So. Please.
Sharon, you understand?
I think she's wanting, what is the 16?
What's the component of that?
It should be a simple Excel sheet that shows me which depart what gets what, and it should be a percentage. I mean, that's literally how the state does it, the county does it. It's just a simple, so it's cost allocation. And then whatever division it is.
It ends up being a chart, and I've seen that chart. Where you distribute the
cost.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you, in the 10 days till next board meeting, do you have the time to fit this in and not have other things go by the wayside that you need to do?
Well,
I mean, it's just something we could maybe move off to another.
No, I don't mind discussing it. It's just, to my knowledge, we've never taken this to the board. We've always just discussed it at Finance Committee and just kept moving
day.
On. Oh, I agree, and I understand.
Is that what you're looking for?
No, these are the hard. I'll work with you offline, but yeah, I'm just saying
I think that'd be helpful is if you provided what you're looking for back to them.
Yeah,
so they're not guessing.
It's like this. It's not. It says DA 5%.05.
Yeah.
You put that in there. Then it says facilities, 0.26%, because you almost always use the same formula for each department. It should be an Excel sheet.
We ask for your help and send us that Excel spreadsheet?
I'm going to send you what it should look like.
Okay.
I'll send you what it should look like.
So let's hold this matter until Marilee have an opportunity.
You don't have to hold it, but I won't support it.
No. I think we should.
I get what I want.
I'm not supporting moving forward with this either.
Yeah.
Let's hold this. I think we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move to the next item.
Mr. Chair, before we move to the next one. So we're holding that. So do you want us to schedule another meeting for 30 days, for 2 weeks? What's our time plan?
For this Friday? If you want it before.
I don't think we want it before.
No,
I think we want it right.
I think you're opening yourself up to a big old can of worms if you don't get this right.
Right.
And
I would rather do this.
For an hour and a half having this big long discussion over one item.
I'd rather
it's
have
just
this.
That all of these should add up to 28, whatever you said the standard amount is, and it should be that easy to see.
Okay. And I think it should come back to this committee before it goes to the board, right?
So how do you want that done? Do you want us just to email it to you?
Yes.
And then what? How would you?
I would just email it to us when you can conveniently get it done so that we don't get off track on other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we can schedule a meeting from there.
Yes.
Okay.
And so
we can schedule another Finance Committee meeting, and we could do that by phone, perhaps?
Yeah. Yes.
For just this one item?
Yes.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Make my notes here. Okay. We'll now move to item number 4, which is receive, discuss, and accept fiscal year 2018, fiscal year 2019 budget.
This item is to talk about the 2018-19 budget. So I guess what I'll do is start here. Did you have anything you wanted to?
No, please.
Okay. It just kind of starts out as to why the Health District prepares an annual budget, and primarily it's to create a financial plan on how to spend the funds
the health district receives. It's about best practices and transparency. It's required by the state of Nevada, and we have to submit it to Clark County no later than April 1st, because it is submitted through the Clark County budget to the state. Here's our schedule, our timeline. We began the process in October. We began training in December. Input was to be completed by the departments January 29th. There was review and adjustments. Division recommendations were done by February 9th, and the final adjustments were made last week, March 6th. Leadership's final review was last week, March 6th, and the Board of Health presentation will be next week, March 22nd. And next week, you'll see that it all have a finance committee line in there. We have four different fund types here at the health district currently. The first two being the general fund, and the general fund accounts for all financial resources that are not accounted for in another fund, is primarily. It does have the property taxes in it, and any other item that does not qualify as a different type of fund. We do have special revenue funds. That was something that we added 2 years ago. This contains the grant funds and also some contractual funds, because some of the funds we receive aren't grant, but they're contractual. But we find it easier to manage them in here, because the special revenue funds can also be managed by inception to date, not just fiscal year. We have capital project fund that it has the, we have two different types. We have a bond reserve fund where we set aside funds for future major building expenditures, and we have a capital project fund which was set aside to purchase major capital assets. We have an internal service fund currently, which is accounting for goods or services. We use it for the self-funded workers' comp. That we no longer were self-funded as of 2 years ago. We are currently with Pool Pact, and so we've been paying the premiums out of the insurance liability fund, and that fund should be closing out in the next couple years. And then we do have a fiduciary fund, which is what the employee activity fund, and that's where the employees raise money to do employee events. Do you have any questions about our fund types?
So can I just ask the one question? You said that we're not going to be paying the liability fund anymore. Is that because all of those cases will be settled and done, and
yes,
then, but we'll still be doing the self-insured,
oh, yeah,
right?
Well, no, we're not in the pool. We're not in the Clark County pool,
right,
anymore.
Right, but we'll still have that component,
so
that we need.
For any current active cases.
Right. Okay.
Yes. And then also the premiums will be paid for out of the general fund.
Let me just make sure my statement is correct. For any current cases prior to the date that we pulled out,
okay,
that's what the pool will be used for.
Okay.
The next slide are the revenues. This is all the revenues for the Southern Nevada Health District. As you can see, the property tax revenue is approximately 30% of our total $72 million. This $21,813,000 is $879,000 higher than last year's. It's approximately a little over a 4% increase, which is the number we received from Jeff at the county. This is not the final county number. We should be receiving that on March 28th. And so the recommendation from us has always been that the budget that gets adopted includes an additional amount that we receive from Clark County after, so that the what we send on April 1st will include that number. Just to also point out, historically in 2009, our high property tax was $28.2 million, and our low was $18 million in 2014. So as you can see, we're still not at the $28.2 million.
And if you look at pie charts, we didn't bring you one, but the pie chart used to show much less than 30% of our total budget. You probably remember that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do when I orient employees, as I've used this old one. And because we've lost some grant funds, we've gained some grant funds too, but the total amount, the total percentage amount of the property taxes has gone up because of that, even though it's much lower than it was 8 years ago.
Yes. The licenses and permits went up a minimal amount, just mainly due to growth. Charges for services has an increase of approximately $1.8 million, and that's increases in insurance charges because we are billing more of our clinics out. Intergovernmental revenues or grants, that's down about $1 million. We have lost grants, and we're going to go into that with another slide. And so the question is, do you have any questions about this, or wait until after I go kind of through them?
Can you just tell me what you said again? So March 28th, the county's going to give you the numbers.
Yes.
April 1st is a tentative budget.
Correct.
So you're going to submit using the March 28th numbers, and then if there's any adjustments that need to be made, it'll be for the final budget approval.
Correct.
But I think she's asking you all to approve it, given that we might have to change that by $50,000 or $100,000, so that we don't have to come back through this process again. I think that's what we've done in years past.
Correct.
So that you just give us that permission, knowing that we'll get the final number from the county after you all have to approve it as a board.
Right.
The next slide talks about the grant funds, the special revenue funds. What we talk about are new grants. We received $490,000 from EMS, a federal grant, SNAP-Ed, another federal grant for $140,000. We've had increases in HIV prevention, MCH, and Ryan-White-B, which is really great, but we've also had reductions in grants, Ryan-White-A, at the refugee program, and the nurse family partnership. And then we've also lost some grants. You were aware last year we talked about the pitch grant, CDC pitch grant. It was finalized this fiscal year 2017-18. Teen pregnancy grant, it ends this year. It is no longer being offered. The ELC Ebola grant also ends this year, and immunization AFIX ended.
And again, just a little bit of the Big Cities Health Coalition in particular, and I think health jurisdictions that have teen pregnancy prevention are still hopeful and are still working through the political process to get that reinstated. But hopeful is a relative term.
And then we also have some grants that are pending that we've applied for, but we did not include in the budget. One is a preventive medicine residency program. It's a five-year grant, $400,000 per year, so it's a $2 million grant. Another one is an implementation of evidence behavioral health demonstration, or black men having sex with men, and it's $300,000 per year for 3 years, $900,000. Ryan-White Part C, it's a one-time grant. Hopefully, our goal is that it'll help us assist fund the EHR, $150,000. And then we got two grants recently. One is a rural mobile clinic and a dental hygienist grant. These are two small grants that we've just received.
And this doesn't include that $200,000 Title 20.
Title 20, no.
Which
sir.
We're not, I'll be honest with you, we're not quite sure yet how to apply for and what it will cover. Because it doesn't cover what we thought it was going to and had been told it was going to. So how much of that we can actually use is uncertain at this point.
Correct. The other changes in the revenues, like I shared with you, the $879,000 property taxes, the increase in $1.8 million in insurance charges for clinical services, growth in environmental health of approximately $450,000, and food handler fees growth of about $540,000. So with that being said on revenues, do y'all have any questions on revenues?
am I correct when I was kind of running, trying to keep the numbers up in my head here? We lost, had a net loss huge in grants. Is it offset by the increase in the extra fees and stuff, or are we still running a big negative?
Oh, probably.
Because I look at about, if I'm doing it right, about $3.5 million lost.
Yeah,
grants.
Probably overall, a lot of it is clinical services, but I hope you would agree with me that clinical services income should stay within clinical services and not to support community health or environmental health. That allows us to do this growth that we've been talking about over several months. But yes, there would be some of that, and maybe more than, I think we've had an increase this year over what we initially thought
Correct.
We were going to get.
Correct.
So it's how well and how easily can the new EHR help us with billing and so on.
Yeah, kind of, I look at just the eliminated, so it's over $2 million.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's a huge number to go offset somewhere.
And the thing is that these that are reduced, like Ryan White A, Ryan White A every year tells us they're going to reduce, and then 3 months into the Ryan White A grant, they say, oh, well, we're going to go ahead and fund it at 100%. And so the last 2 years, in fact, Ryan White A has come in at 100% funding, but budget time, we're reducing it because they're telling us we're reducing it. So that's an example where we don't want to necessarily say that it's going to happen because...
Yeah, I just still look at that huge eliminated, and I'm just curious how we're going to...
Yeah. And it's the two, if you look at that, it's actually the top three ones that are the big ones. Mm-hmm. And of course, the ELC Ebola really has just gone away. Teen pregnancy prevention will go away at the end of this fiscal year. And then it was, when did the other one go away? Was it July 1st for the pitch? I mean, January 1st?
Pitch went away September.
September, yeah.
Which, but I mean, as a board, we talked about that.
Yes.
And that was one of the reasons we discussed the wages. Right,
yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, we said there was a potential property tax would come in to kind of offset what that cost
yes.
was. So, I mean, it wasn't, we were more concerned about keeping those employees in different positions.
Well, and the thing is we only listed out the pending grants that are recent. We've got some more grants that we're applying for. We're constantly looking for new grants. Even though we don't have a grant writer, we've been having staff fill in. We've been trying to make sure that we keep this going because we want to find and use every source of funding that we can. And so hopefully we've got a couple grants that we're hoping will help cover the teen pregnancy loss and those types of things. So we are looking.
And for proposed pending is that was the HRSA grant for the Preventive Medicine Residency right. program that you all know about. But I think I hope I mentioned to you all that Richard Whitley said we are eligible to apply for the
right.
governor's funding and are planning to do that in April, I think, is when that next deadline is,
yes.
and are avidly working on that. So we could use a little bit more than 400 a year to actually get this up and running, but we could squeeze by on 400 a year, but we can apply for both and then adjust them as necessary. And we have gotten support from UNLV on this, certainly the School of Community Health Sciences, and then for those of you who know Dr. Barone, Mimi, she is working with us on our graduate medical education committee mm-hmm. as well. And so we'll be working closely with them as we proceed with that program.
So good, Matt. You're doing good. So to share with you on the expense side, this graph, what it shows is that the proposed year is in the blue, the current estimated year is in the green, the adopted budget is in the pink, and then last year's actual is in the brown. Excuse me. One of the things that we've been talking about is vacancy savings. If you'll notice our big gap right here, our jump, is we have a $3.2 million increase in salaries over last year. If you look at the pink numbers, 36.6% versus 39.8%. But if you also look at our estimated actuals, is that 36%? That's actually less than our current budget. And if you recall, when we adopted our budget, that was without the COLA and the two-step increase. We should have been coming back to you right now with a budget augmentation to cover the additional increase in wages that we approved, that you approved July 1st. Well, you approved it in October, but it went back retroactively to July. But as you can see, we're not needing to come with a budget augmentation because of our vacancy savings. It's covering that increase. Currently, we've got in the budget $39.8 million, and that's including 17.3 positions that have been added to the health district since the budget was adopted this time last year. Fringe benefits and payroll taxes are going down from 15.7 in the original budget down to 15.5. Yes.
Now I'm really confused.
Yeah, how's that possible?
Now we go up on our proposed to 39.8 million, which is a 3.8 million increase from the estimated.
Correct.
Estimated. But we look at a percentage that is significantly less. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen? Because payroll taxes, other than the Social Security cap, is based on pay.
And pensions, correct.
And pensions. So I don't get why these aren't a little more percentage orientated.
Which
more
they
equivalent.
Are.
Yeah.
Right, equivalent. They are. When we did the budget last year, the 15.7, we were using a percentage of 43%. Now we're down to 39%. So that's part of the reason, because the percentage that we used at this time included workers' comp. There haven't been any workers' comp costs because we've been using that liability reserve fund. Mm-hmm. And so there is no workers' comp costs in this number.
Okay.
And so that's why it dropped down here, is that the factor that was used was over budgeted last year. And so in next year, like I said, it is dropping to 39. So that's the primary reason right there.
Okay.
And then you're right, historically, they do drop down percentage-wise and they do average out. But you do also have to remember, when I do a payout for an employee, there's no like PERS and all of that attached. So what, if you've got an employee here that was here 25 years and they retire and they have a payout mm-hmm. of $100,000, none of that has PERS attached to it. So that also impacts your percentage when you're trying to do those types of calculations. Did that help answer your question a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then if you look at services and supplies, the budget was 16.2%. We're estimating that we'll be at 17.5, and next year we'll be at 17.7. And then transfers out primarily are decreasing due to the grants. The loss of grants, we're not having to cover the additional overhead costs from the general fund. So with that being said, this is just a write-up based on what we discussed. The salary increases of 3.2 million. The staff adjustments are 17.3 since the prior fiscal year. This next statement is incorrect, and I apologize for that. In next year's budget, it has the 2.5% COLA increase and the two-step for eligible staff. It includes new programs, which are family care, model of services, dental health care, and residency programs. It increases services and supplies by 1.4, and transfers out decrease by 1.3. If you look at the changes by division, if you're curious, net staff increased by 3.3 over the adopted budget. The new programs in clinical services are family clinic of $520,000 and dental health of $136,000. The pharmacy's expenses have increased $1.5 million, but also to offset that, revenues have also increased the same proportion. The expenses there are the medications we purchase, and then we apply, most of that gets reimbursed to us from the insurance companies.
And that's the full implementation of the ADAP program.
Correct.
Which is the AIDS Drug Assistance Program.
Yes. So we're 100% into the pharmacy now. And at the time last year, we were still unknown, and so that's why the expenses weren't budgeted high enough, and revenues. And environmental health, net staff decrease of 1 from the adopted budget. Community health, a net staff increase of 12 from the 2017-18 budget. Disease surveillance increased grant funding by $1.2 million, and that's primarily where most of those 12 bodies also increased was disease surveillance, and also we received EMS grant funding of $490,000.
And that's the naloxone grant, just so people understand what that is. It's not
for EMS.
It's not a whole bunch more staff. It's the naloxone grant that we're using to help with first responders here, and I believe it goes outside of our county. We're allowed to help out with surrounding counties with that grant.
Of course, surrounding counties.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I've got another question. I look at, so EH, we're decreasing one person. But we go back to look at EHVs and what they're producing, you're actually doing more now with less people. Are we leaving something on the table by not having a couple more people, or are we not rushing through things?
Do you want me to start with this?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have, I reacted to the increase in wages by asking Jackie to keep 6 positions open, which she has done.